Welcome to the H2H Human Connection Done Right Summit, bringing together forward-thinking leaders who understand that true innovation happens when people, process, and technology work in harmony. Lean into this refreshing, energizing experience designed to inspire you with a new approach to a timeless principle. Our speakers will offer fresh insights that will challenge perspectives and spark new ideas.
Hello. I want to start today with a story about these two guys who are currently going through Code's Elevate Leadership Program together. And for a bit of context, what anchors our programs is what we call team practices, which are live weekly sessions that are comprised of training and group discussion and smaller breakout groups that are really focused on getting reps and applying leadership tools. But the first thing on our agenda every single week, one of the most impactful parts of our program, is what I call Lead by Example, which is a dedicated space where participants are able to share feedback, business tensions, and share how they've been able to apply the Code Toolkit over the past week. And so we were in this Lead by Example portion of one of my team practices a few weeks ago, and these two guys decided to speak up, and they work on the same team. And they kept running into the same challenge. They had these certain cleaning standards that they needed to maintain in their workspace, and the support from their team was not there. The work was not getting done. It was falling back onto them. Their stress was building. They were frustrated. They knew that they needed to address it. Now, there's lots of ways that they could have handled this, right? They could have sent a passive aggressive email. They could have pulled rank. They could have scheduled a meeting and listed all the things that weren't happening and told their colleagues to get it together. They did mention that as they were spitballing ideas, that they had considered just yelling at their team. Luckily, they chose to do something different. They took a moment, they stepped back, they reflected together, and they thought about what is the best way for us to go have this conversation. And between the two of them, they decided, what if we just tried being vulnerable? Now, one of the things that we talk about in our Elevate program is that when we give feedback, it can be really impactful to share how we feel in those moments with the people that we're giving feedback to. And so they walked into that conversation and they said, when this work is not getting done, we feel really stressed out. The responsibility is falling on us. We feel like we're letting our boss down, and we cannot do this on our own. And to their surprise, it kind of worked. They said the next day, those same team members showed up and started taking initiative. Was there still coaching to be done? Absolutely. Were there still some committed actions to make? Of course. But instead of reacting, instead of pointing fingers, they led with self-awareness. They communicated really clearly. And because of that, they were able to have a real conversation that led to change, as opposed to one that could have led to resentment or misunderstandings or further frustration, probably from both sides. But my favorite part about this anecdote is that I was not in the room. There was no facilitator. There was no script. It was just two leaders using the tools that they had learned, coaching each other through that moment and showing up in a way that made every single person in that interaction better. And to me, that's what effective leadership development looks like. In those moments of stress and tension, these two did not just manage a problem. They supported each other. They leaned into the toolkit that they'd been developing, and they brought out the best in one another, which is exactly what we always hope to cultivate through our programs. And to me, they are perfect examples of what I like to call elevators. To me, an elevator is distinct from a manager or a leader. It's somebody who has the skills and the intention to continuously elevate themselves, their team, and their organization. And the term came because I was thinking about the word manager, and it doesn't evoke a lot of inspiration, right? We manage people and calendar, or sorry, we manage budgets and calendars, but we don't want to manage people, right? That's not fulfilling. It's not inspiring. And frankly, it's not what most managers want to do, right? The leaders who go through my program have aspirations far beyond just managing people. And while I love the word leader and I will use it many times today, I also think that sometimes it can fall short. When we picture a leader, rightly or wrongly, we often see somebody standing in the front of the room with a vision in charge. And that's absolutely an important part of leadership, but it's not the full picture, especially for middle managers. And the word elevator to me really recenters what makes a manager exceptional, right? They're human and they're curious and they're committed to continuously developing themselves and the people around them. And for me, that's why elevator is not just a title, it's more of a call to action. And we can imagine how powerful it would be if you had a company full of elevators, just like those team members I talked about, that led with awareness and had skills and had the intention in those moments of stress to seek support and to choose how they wanted to respond and not just react, right? And that's what I want to talk about today. What does it actually take to develop an elevator, and how can you do it in a way that actually sticks? Because these are the kind of people we want on our team, right? Most leadership training programs focus on delivering information, and don't get me wrong, that's important. It is a fundamental first step. Participants go into our learning portal every single week and they do prep work for our team practices. And that's usually watching a video or reading a book chapter, but information is not enough. You have to apply it. You have to wrestle with it. You have to ask tough questions. And frankly, you have to be able to answer those tough questions in order to feel like you truly have command of a new skill. And the truth is, most of the leadership tools that I teach are not complicated on paper, right? But leadership doesn't happen on paper. It happens in real situations with real people, real tensions, real stakes. And that's where the challenge begins. That's when the questions come up. That's when people need support, right? People come to our team practices and they ask for support in strategizing. How do I communicate a new idea to my boss or my boss's boss? They ask for support in navigating performance reviews with team members who may not see the impact that they're having on the rest of the organization. They need coaching on how to navigate holding people accountable to in-office requirements, or support on how to train new employees, or guidance on how to approach vendors or clients who are causing friction in their department. I'm sure a lot of this is sounding very familiar, right? These are the types of new problems that managers need tools and support to navigate. And I say new managers because, as we know, most people don't start out as managers. They're promoted because they were great at what they did. They were self-motivated. They had the answers. They were problem solvers. They took feedback really well and they turned it into action. And then you get promoted. And overnight, you're put in charge of people. And anyone who's ever made that transition knows it's a huge paradigm shift. Suddenly, success is not about your own performance. You are responsible for people who do not think like you. They do not work like you. They do not respond the way that you do. And now the problems that you have to solve are not logistical problems. Most of the time, they're people problems. And that requires an entirely different set of skills. You need to know how to motivate others, how to coach, how to ask the right questions, how to give feedback in a way that actually lands. None of these are casual skills, right? They're simple in theory, maybe, but in practice, they're tough. And again, when stress and pressure hits, they're even tougher. And that's why leadership development is not just about learning ideas, it's about building the capacity to use them, especially when it matters. And if we want effective organizations, we need to have effective middle managers. Their actions impact folks up and down the organization. They're the bridge between strategy and execution, between vision and reality. And yet we often expect them to develop the skills that they need through trial and error. Maybe they read a few books or they attend an annual conference, right? But that's not how real growth happens. That's not how behavior change happens. And that's why our approach is built around practice. I really believe that so much of the magic of what we create with our Elevate programs is our ability to create genuinely safe, developmentally focused spaces. Spaces that are technically at work, but they feel different than work. And a place where leaders can get reps, they can test ideas, they can get real-time feedback before those big moments arise. And a space where they can build confidence so that when the stakes are high, they don't just react, they respond. I'll never forget what one participant said at the last day of our program. He said this was a really great place, a safe place to practice new things without having to worry about really screwing somebody up. And I think that that is something that we cannot afford to overlook. Because if we want leaders who show up with mindfulness and with self-awareness, we have to give them the space to build those muscles first. So I'm going to offer a metaphor that I think to me makes leadership development really straightforward. To me, leadership is like building any other skill. And I played softball in college, so that's we're gonna lean on that a little bit. Leadership in my world is like a team sport, and I think we should treat it like one. So let's say you needed to teach somebody how to throw a ball, right? They've never done it before. Maybe they played some other sports. So there's some transferable skills, but they've never really thrown a ball. Okay. Would you just throw them into a game, expect them to nail it? Of course we wouldn't. That's ridiculous. You would never assume that they would be successful right away. You'd probably worry that they would hurt themselves or somebody else because they're being asked to perform with zero preparation. And yet, so often, this is exactly what happens with leadership. If we want to teach somebody how to throw a ball, you're not just going to hand them a book about it. You're not going to show them a video and call it a day. You wouldn't put them in a room with a trainer who's just giving a really long lecture and expect them to perform under pressure. All of those things are really useful starting points, but they miss a critical step. Practice, right? With any athletic skill, practice is everything. It's where you get reps. It's where you make mistakes in a low-stakes environment. It's where you have teammates around you, people learning alongside of you, who can offer an extra set of eyes. It's where coaches can give real-time feedback, where you develop that muscle memory and you refine your form and you work through your blind spots. And if you do it enough, you do it enough so that when game day comes, and the pressure is on, you don't just hope for the best, right? You know that you're ready. And for some reason, we don't always treat leadership this way. We throw people straight into the game and we cross our fingers and we hope that they figure it out, ideally with minimal damage, right? And when they struggle, which most new leaders do, we chalk it up to growing pains instead of recognizing that we never really gave them a real chance to succeed in the first place. Trial and error is how most of us learn leadership. And that is not a leadership development strategy. It's exhausting for everybody. It's not a strategy, though, right? We've spent a lot of time imagining what the impact would be, the value would be of having a team full of elevators. I'm sure most of us do not need to use our imagination to appreciate the repercussions of a manager who does not have these skills, right? Whenever I tell people what I do and that I focus on equipping managers with the skills that they need to be successful, almost every time, without fail, that other person tells me that they know somebody who should really be in my program. The impact of managers who, in my experience, want to do a great job, but who don't have the skills to effectively show up for their people is exhaustion and frustration on both sides of the equation. And that ripples through an organization, right? And I've seen relationships like this that are contentious, people who aren't working perfectly well together. Their dynamics have completely shifted around. I had a graduate say that since they started the class, they've had relationships, both work and personal, completely change around. He said one of those was with his direct supervisor, and he said it was amazing to see how they were completely able to flip the script. And that transformation is able to happen because we are so dedicated to creating a practice space that is driven by three core principles. So the first is cadence. Leadership is not a one-time event. Growth happens through consistent, intentional practice over time. Community. Leaders need peers who can support them, challenge them, and learn alongside of them. Nobody grows in isolation. The best leaders are not just self-aware, they have people in their corner who are helping them to see what they cannot see on their own. And coaching. That real-time feedback and that guidance are essential. So let's start with cadence. The more often that we apply what we're learning, the more natural it becomes, right? And at first, a weekly 90-minute meeting sounds like a really big time commitment for most people. But over time, it just becomes a rhythm and it gives us a dedicated space to pause, to reflect, and to ask questions that so often get lost in the craziness of the day-to-day, right? How am I showing up? How am I handling challenges? What could I be doing differently? And without intentional moments to step back and reflect, it's really easy to get swept up in the midst of having to get a million things done. Having a regular cadence allows participants to continuously prioritize their development, which is the only way we make real progress, right? And these weekly practices create accountability. It's a built-in opportunity to make sure that we are using the tools that we're learning, that we're giving the feedback that needs to be given, that we're applying new approaches in real time. And they offer something else that's also really important, which is support. Like I mentioned previously, we carve out space to talk about those real business tensions, which are challenging us right now, and we work through them together. And some weeks, maybe it's your challenge, right? You walk away with clarity and a next step, or you have a new way to approach whatever that problem is. Or maybe you're in what we like to call the fishbowl, right? You're listening, you're learning, you're helping somebody else navigate their challenge. And that's really powerful too, right? Because the next time you face something similar, you're not starting from scratch. You've already done the mental reps. You have a deeper understanding of how to approach it and which tools to use. This rhythm, this practice, right, ensures that leadership development is not just theoretical. It becomes a part of how we think, how we show up, how we lead every single day. Which brings me to the second piece of the puzzle, which is community, right? It can be really hard to remember what we read in a book. Doesn't matter how hard we try, like things start to slip out of our memory over time. But we do remember stories, we remember laughter, we remember the real moments that make ideas come alive. So a model or a framework that might seem flat on the page suddenly has a lot more depth when we see somebody apply it to a relatable situation. And that's why every leader in our program is part of a small 8 to 12 person cohort. And there's something that I've seen time and time again, which is that confidence grows in community. So many managers feel alone in their challenges. They just assume that everybody else has it figured out. But when they step into a space and they hear someone say, "Me too, I've been there," things start to shift, right? They realize they're not the only one struggling to navigate tough conversations. They're not the only one feeling the weight of responsibility. And that sense of shared experience is really powerful. I had a participant say that one thing that they really appreciated was the camaraderie of what they did in the program. He said, "You know, there's these mixed feelings about Zoom style or team style calls, but the level of connection and relationship building that was happening in the context of our program was really inspiring." And I get it. Sometimes people are like skeptical about structured programs, especially in a virtual setting. But when they're done right, these spaces don't feel like another meeting. They feel like a place that leaders can be real and they don't always have to have all the answers. And they can learn new things and they can take a de deep breath and they can admit when they're stuck and when they need help. And that's where the magic starts to happen. And it just takes one person to be brave enough to be vulnerable, and it starts to create a ripple effect. And the team steps in, and it's not to judge, but to be thoughtful and to ask questions and to empathize and to offer support. And in doing that, your command of the toolkit grows in tandem with the trust that you're building with your team members, right? Think about the anecdote that we started with today. They were able to reflect together and have a conversation with each other in real time because they had had that conversation. They had conversations just like that so many times in team practice. They knew what to do because they'd practiced doing it. They had both the skills and the trust that they needed to unlock something really special. And it's that combination of skill and trust that lets us do really special things. One of my favorite practices and tools that we use in the program is called a PDP, a personal development practice, where everybody identifies an old habit, something that maybe is not serving them, and then the new habit that they want to build instead. And not only do you get to work with your teammates to identify what is that old habit and what's the new habit, but once you've identified that, you continue to lean on each other, right? Their team members all know what they're working on. And inevitably, when we slip back into our old pattern, our old habit, there's somebody there to nudge us in the right direction. So having that community helps us to make sure that we're always growing. And this is happening with every single tool all of the time, right? This is how you grow a developmental community in an organization. And this is why our leadership tools stick, because they're lived experiences reinforced by a team who genuinely cares. And that's what elevators do. They help each other rise. And the last piece here is coaching, right? Every session includes live coaching because having real-time guidance as you put these skills into practice makes a big difference. As a trainer, I'm trying to ask the right questions and offer perspective and help people refine their approach in that moment. If you think about it this way, right, we'll go back to our analogy. If you're learning how to throw a ball, you don't want to throw it 100 times with the wrong form. That's not making you better, right? That's just reinforcing bad habits. The same is true for leadership. Practicing it the wrong way doesn't help anybody. So that's why live coaching is such a critical part of what we do. Leaders don't have to wonder if they're on the right track. They get the immediate feedback. You have a coach that can tell you yes or no, or, you know, tweak it. Let's do it. Let's try it this way. And that gives them the confidence to keep going, right? Knowing that they are developing in the right direction. And we also make sure that coaching is accessible whenever a participant might need it, not just in our team practices. So our learning portal is set up so that when someone is working on their weekly reflection log or their weekly feedback log and they need help, they can submit their work directly to me. So no, not only do they always have support, but we've leveraged technology to make asking for that support really easy. We've created a system where leaders can practice, course correct, grow, all with the expert guidance right there in the room, no matter where the room is. So I've touched on it here and there, but I do want to spend a little bit of time talking about the actual toolkit that we cover. Our leadership toolkit is built around four key areas. Every tool that we teach falls into one of these four buckets. It's either a self-awareness tool, a communication tool, a coaching tool, or a team and company dynamics tool. One of the biggest things that I emphasize throughout our program is self-awareness. Looking in the mirror, right, before we look out the window. And as we introduce new tools, the question isn't just how can I use this to change others, but how can I use this to show up differently, right? Our elevators are asking questions like, how am I showing up? What is my mindset? Where do I feel stress and pressure? How can I communicate more effectively? They are reflecting in real time. And with that in mind, communication, like I said, is a huge focus. Learning how to give feedback the right way without shame or blame, and ensuring that conversations are happening in a timely and productive manner. Coaching, again, another key piece, especially from new managers. Most managers, like we talked about, are promoted because they knew the answers as individual contributors. They've probably done that job before. But great leadership is not about having all the answers. It's about asking the right questions so that your team can critically think and grow into their own potential, right? And then, of course, team and company dynamics is woven into everything. Understanding where dysfunction is coming from, knowing how to effectively address it is really key to creating strong, healthy teams. And what's powerful about the toolkit is it's so interconnected. As we move through the program, each tool builds on the last and it creates a stacking effect where skills reinforce each other. And by the end of the program, leaders are leveraging a really robust toolkit. They can throw an issue on the table, diagnose the root cause, understand the goal, and confidently choose which tool is going to move them forward. And that's how elevators save time, they reduce friction, and they drive results, right? And this approach is not just theoretical, it's measurable. Over 97% of graduates report feeling more capable and empowered. Over 95% they say they feel more equipped to lead their teams effectively and handle real-time leadership and interpersonal challenges. The vast majority find that tools are practical and applicable. Participants emphasize the value of learning alongside their peers, strengthening both their individual leadership skills, but also the team cohesion. We have spent years refining this approach, learning how to lead into structure and community to create an environment that is equal parts training and support. So, if you're looking to develop the leaders on your team, I hope this has given you a little bit of insight about how you can approach that in a way that is going to be truly impactful, both for those individuals and for your organization. And I implore you to imagine what could be possible if your organization was filled with elevators. If you'd like to learn more about Code or Elevate programs, you can visit us at code.co or on social at code.co or connect with me on LinkedIn. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for joining us in today's forward-thinking session of Human Connection Done Right. As we transition to our next expert speaker, remember that together we are redefining the future. To stay engaged and informed, visit revenue-bydesign.com, where together we will be deliberate, be intentional, and be successful.